We're blessed to be able to support several nations, Haiti, Jerusalem, and that last one on the right, that doesn't mean it's the last important, but you see the one with the white background and the red dot in it? That's Japan. And so we're able to support. Well, I tell you what, why don't you introduce her, Kristen, because you raised her up in youth group. Do what? Well, probably everybody doesn't know that we support Japan, but, you know, if you just got here, we support Japan. Praise the Lord.
Hello, everybody. Well, it is my pleasure to introduce a dear friend of mine, Angela Mitchell Masuda. Did I say it all right? Okay, I was a little nervous. I met Angela, how many years ago did you start? You were 16, and how old are you now? 28, so 12 years ago, Angela started coming out. Well, her sister started coming out first, and then the family followed, much to Crystal's dismay. But we were blessed. Angela got to start coming to youth group, and she was a blessing from the beginning, and it was just wonderful to get to see her grow up. And then she started to come to work with me at the doctor's office, and that was awesome. And then mom came to work there too. And I don't know if you guys remember, a couple weeks ago Sheila Mitchell shared, and she's the one she just graduated from Bible College out in Colorado. Well, that's Angela's mother, so you can connect the dots a little. I don't know if she wanted me to share that tidbit of information or not, but, so Angela went away after she graduated from high school. Her and Charity went to Fire School of Ministry together, and she graduated from there and spent, how long did you spend in Japan first? Okay. I might be stealing some of your stuff here. But anyway, she went to Japan for a little bit, and then she went to a little tiny island in Alaska named Adak, and she lived off caribou and stale Twinkies for too long, and then she felt called to go to Japan, and she wasn't there but less than a year, and you met Sheen? Yeah. And she was blessed to marry this man of God, and all the single Japanese ladies are very jealous because she stole, like, the last Japanese bachelor, Christian bachelor in the area. But so she's a blessed woman, and Sheen had to go back to Japan earlier this week, but he's a great guy, and they're a wonderful couple. And so we're very blessed to have Angela here with us this morning, and just open your hearts. I'm sure she has some wonderful things from the Lord to share. So come on up. Yay!
Lesson there. Well, thank you all for having me again. I've been here already once before since I've been in Japan, but I'm sure there are some new faces here as well. Sorry, I kind of look like a Picasso, but I was telling my friend here, thank God he loves and thinks that all of us are a beautiful work of art. I wore makeup to church again. Cried it all off. But praise God for his abundant love and mercy. And from Sheen, I wanted to share a verse with you all and to send his greetings as well, because he was not fortunate enough to be here and was very sad about that as well. But I'm going to go to Matthew 10 real quick. Y'all all know this verse very well, but Matthew 10, verse 40. I'm going to start there and keep going for a little bit. It says, "Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly, I say to you, he will by no means lose his rewards." And Sheen just wanted to express his gratitude that for the hospitality, for the blessings, for just the amount of love and support that you all shared with us, and just wanted to pray and just speak God's blessings back, because you all will receive the reward just as much as we do when we see new people come into the church and get saved, and people who realize Buddhism and Buddha are dead. And then they finally get that revelation and they wake up and realize there's only one living God left and one living God around, and they just make that transition. And so that reward and all that blessing, we just pour it, we speak it into your life and just thank you all so much. And so Sheen wanted me to just share that with you all. But I wanted to update you all because some of y'all may or may not know what we're doing in Japan. And we have been starting our own church, and not too long ago, we got our own building finally, a little house, church, both. But praise God, it's a place where we can bring people and begin to give out flyers and bring them in and let them know where we're at. And so with the support and with the generosity, we're able to really get the materials we need in Japanese and send it out to people and give it out. We've covered our neighborhood. We're going to keep expanding until every house within the radius of several towns, probably at least, can get the gospel in their homes. And because of the generosity, we have been able to do that. And we do have, praise God, after all the plowing that we've been doing, there is one soul who has come into our church. And she is getting baptized soon. And we are so excited to see that after all these years of plowing and plowing. It's like, thank you, Jesus, for this tremendous blessing. Because this woman also has two precious children. Precious children. Who are also in training. And we know that not only her, but the next generation will also be impacted by because of this. And so we just want to thank you all for all that you're doing and enabling us to do in Japan. It is truly a struggle sometimes, and our house is surrounded by Buddhist shrines in every corner, and the atmosphere just sometimes feels so heavy and weighty, and it just sometimes you just think, God, why am I here? What can we possibly accomplish when the there's so much of the work of Satan around us, and there's like this one little light shining in our town. It's like sometimes it seems so overwhelming, but then when you think about it, what does the Word of God say about a light? When a light shines in the darkness, what's the rest? Yep. The darkness cannot overcome it. And we will not be overcome until our city receives that light. The entire city, we're going for it, and we thank y'all for your support, and just want to let you all know that we will keep pressing on. We will press on, and we will see not only our church filled, but filled to overflowing. And we're believing for a bigger building. We're going to get more people. We're going to get our town. And just thank you all so much for that. But we love you all. We're praying for you constantly and just are excited to see all the baptisms here. I love coming back and seeing new faces because I know that's growth, and that's just such a blessing in my life as well. So bless you, sister, and brother, wherever you went. But thank you all so much, and I'll pass it on back to you.
Thank you, Lord. Come here, son. Let's all let's extend our hands up here and pray a blessing, because we know this is good soil, don't we? We know this is good soil, Jesus. And Lord God, we thank you, God. You said you would bring forth 160, 30-fold harvest, God. We thank you for the 10,000-fold harvest, God. We thank you for Japan aflame for Jesus. We thank you for revival. We thank you. Well, we'd call for an awakening, but they never been awake. God, we pray that they would wake up to the gospel. We thank you, Lord, that that hard ground will be, Lord, the rain of God would come upon it, and it will be prepared for the gospel, God. We thank you for these two, for a fresh anointing on their life, a fresh presence of God, a fresh fire, and Jesus, you will come. Let's say, you will complete, Jesus. You will complete, Jesus, the good work you started in Japan through Angela and Sheen. In Jesus' name. Love you, honey. Y'all come back sometime. We'll let y'all preach for a couple, 3 days, you know? Seriously. Well, last but not least, we're thankful to have Mike and Jenny and the children. Well, Caleb's not a children anymore. He's a man, but we're thankful. He don't act like it. Listen to big sister, little sister. Well, we're honored to have them back today, and Mike and I go back a long way. I don't know how old he was when he first came out to youth group one afternoon, probably 21. We allowed people to come out to youth group back then that were living godly, holy lives. We allowed that because we thought that was a very good example for younger people to show them you don't have to be a derelict at 21. You know, you don't have to be a drunkard. You can be serving God. I wish somebody had showed me that. I probably wouldn't have listened anyway, but I was a hard head. But Mike, we go back a long way, and he was there when we got he was there when we started Friday night home groups. He was there the night I shared with him. I'll never forget, I shared with him, I think it was a Friday night. I shared with him that God showed me that we should fix up the loft of the old barn we had and start make it a place of worship. And I remember we went up in the loft of that barn. There was holes in it. And it was stacked up with hay. I guess the peak was probably close to high as this at least. And I used to go up there and pray. And that's where God spoke to me. He said, I want to make this a church. And so I told Mike that. And he didn't laugh. He said, okay, if that's what God showed you. So we prayed there and we agreed that God would make that happen. And it didn't happen immediately, but it wasn't too long before God started stirring things. And Mike's associate pastor here for, a long time, and just a blessing, a warrior, an armor bearer, somebody that, you know, and I'm not trying to blow nobody up, but, you know, he would be back there taking care of business silently when business needed taking care of. And believe me, when revival comes, you need somebody that can take care of business. When the demon-possessed start coming in and distractions start coming in, so he's a friend, he's a warrior, and I'm so blessed to know him, and Jenny too, praise the Lord. Led worship for, I don't know how many years, many, 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 many years. How many? A bunch. 16? Wow. Well, anyway, let me tell you one more story. She used to do that song. She did that song for me, I think. Probably don't do it much anymore. She did Send the Fire for me because I used to get jumping and twirling back when I could do that. And if you'd never been in the barn, how many of y'all was never in the barn church? You were never in there. Okay, here's the deal. If Mark was jumping and praising, and everybody on the front row was jumping and praising, see, the guy that designed the floor, he was an engineer, Ted. And he put in these saplings. They were real, they're trees. They had a lot of give, but they was like this. And then there was like 3/4 plywood on top of that. And it spanned about 25 feet. And when you got to jump, and see, Ted said, if you put something rigid in there, it'll break. He was a wise man. When you get to jumping, guess what? If you didn't want to dance, you really didn't have no choice. Because literally, the chairs were going like this, and the room was going like this, and it was you never came out with shin splints because it was kind of like a trampoline, and I kind of miss it. But anyway, that's kind of what it was like in the old barn. I know y'all think of a barn, you think of a modern metal building. Pre-Civil War, I'll just tell you one more story. There's thousands. But I remember one day, y'all and Dean was going to have a meeting with, I don't even remember the band at that time, but some of the other guys in the band visited that day, and I was a little bit embarrassed because at the time, there was a guy named Roy, and he was keeping cattle in our barn. And we had a little runway. We had a bridge that went over, bridge over troubled waters. It went from one side of the barn to the other. And it was a pretty hot day, and you know how cows are. They don't have a lot of class, and they just go on the floor, everything, and start getting muddy and sloppy, and you could hear them down there. And you can smell them down there, and it's like a barn. It was really, really, really a barn, wasn't it? So praise the Lord. We're in a bigger barn now, and we got flush toilets, and it don't stink, and we welcome you, Mike. I'm so glad you're here. Hey, isn't that an opening? No, the point is, they stayed with us when we was in that slop. Thank you,
Jesus. God provides.
Yes, he does.
When it all burned up,
yes,
look around. God has provided. Yeah, I was just thinking there was probably $15,000 to $20,000 worth of musical equipment, including the trailer. We'd go out on outreaches and all that burned up, and the insurance didn't cover it, but they did replace the trailer because it was in my name instead of the church's or whatever. So, but all the music equipment, burn up, gone forever. So we ask the God to bring it back. And he has provided good stuff. But back in Faith Harvest history, pre-mortgage, we'd do outreaches. You know, it was known as faithful people that would be out evangelizing. We'd do outreaches, and Pastor Mark said, we need equipment to go that when we come back, we don't have to set it up late Saturday night for Sunday morning service. So I remember we ordered from Musician's Friend like $9,000 worth of equipment in one order, you know. And we'd go out and set up this PA system, and we'd be setting up in Greenville, and it'd be pointed south, and a young man was like a mile away in the west, and they heard it inside their house and run down there and seen what was going on, and there was a sound going forth.
Mm.
It's an honor to be here. It's an honor to be sharing the pulpit with Pastor Mark, my friend, my pastor, one who has helped disciple me and my family. It's an honor to share the pulpit with Angela this morning. Can I ask you a few questions? How do I properly bow in Japan? Is it hands to your side or okay? I just like to know. I probably don't do it too smooth. I feel a little stiff neck this morning. That may be the being at mom and dad's, he had surgery on his neck this week, so maybe getting something from him or something. Japan flag. I can't remember if we got that on your first trip or if we got it when Pastor Hiroko spoke here in 2003 when we didn't even have a church. I don't remember. Was it your first trip? What year was that? Few years back. Awesome. You know, Faith Harvest earned all them flags. We didn't just buy a bunch of flags. There's a story behind each flag. Haiti, with Pastor Jerry, taking us to Haiti. You know, as my family comes back and visits home here from, we've been out in Kansas City for almost 3 years. And we remember things, and we're driving around certain roads, and the children remember being younger and songs they would sing on certain roads and which child was in a car seat that they had to sing to calm them down. And it's been good stuff. Pray for me. I have 3 teenagers now, and they're all good. Would any of y'all like to share anything? Caleb? Elizabeth? Mariah? Gracelyn? Miracles in class? So Miracle's 6 now. She was 3 when we left. She remembers Pastor Mark's church, she remembers Dan giving her gum because she misses Dan. She missed Holly. She missed Dan. She missed Dan because Dan gave her gum. They drove by the house the other day, and she didn't quite remember that, but she remembers her loft that she went up and played in within our house. Like my lovely bride like to share? Huh? Things have been good in Kansas City. We moved out there, and well, my wife's had an organ removed since we've been out there. She had a gallbladder taken out not too long ago. Sure miss home. Home is home, and it's always home. Sure miss you all. It's good. Thanks for singing happy birthday. We'll share a little story. Yeah, I was born on June the 5th of 1968. And after realizing how things work, I figured it up. I was conceived probably in the latter part of summer, probably around Labor Day weekend. In 1967, the summer of love, 5 years before abortion was legal, and I made it out of the womb, and I was adopted by two beautiful people that has loved me and taken care of me, and I'm very thankful for that. Very thankful for that. Because there's no telling how I may have ended up. And I give God all the glory and honor for that. And I'm thankful for Jesus. He's given me a good wife, 5 children. Our baby's 6 years old. So we need another baby around. But Mama says no. So we need to adopt one. And I love babies. And adoption costs a lot of money. And I asked a guy the other day that works in this ministry. It's called Orphan Justice Center. And I said, how does a large family that's, you know, does good to get groceries, that has no money, how do they adopt? He said, you ask for the money. They raised $42,000 when they adopted their last child. Stephen Curtis Chapman's ministry give them like $12,000, and this other organization give them like $6,000. And so God's heart is on the heart of the children to take care of them. So if you agree with God and God lays that on your heart to do so, He will lead you in the direction what to pray for, who to talk to. I like adoption. We haven't done that, but I really like it. Kansas City's been good to us. IHOP's been good to us. Employment's been good. I have both worked the worst job ever and the best job I've ever had out there. And I'm thankful for both of them. I knew today was going to be good, and it's been powerful so far. So I hope God will use me to speak to you. Last night was a rough night for me. I started getting one of them bad headaches. It was right up in here. I got sick about 2 o'clock this morning. And I knew it was going to be good today. Warfare stirs up a little bit when God's moving. Don't expect peace when you proclaim revival. Things might not always be smooth, but things will be good because Jesus wins. And you win too if you stay with Jesus. Obedience to God. Truth. Obedience and truth. Was it Pilate who asked Jesus, what is truth? That's something we could ask ourselves today in this country, right? What is truth? Well, we know Jesus is truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. That's John 14, verse 6. The Word of God is truth. Here's our standard we live by. Not what we think. Not necessarily what we've been taught. What we've been taught has to line up with the Word of God for it to be truth. Let Shin know that I also am in Matthew 10 this morning. Did I say his name right? Close enough. Okay, close enough for my Southern Indiana, non-English speaking. So let's go to Matthew 10. I want to share a little bit of the word here for you. Jesus is king. Jesus wins. We win too if we stay with Jesus. We're obedient to Him. He is truth. And we need to always speak truth. We cannot be living a lie and speaking lies and then claim to be in the truth and expect to have the blessings of God on our life.
That's right.
We have to be consistent speaking the truth, not denying the truth, walking in the truth, living the truth. Jesus is the truth. Okay? People, businesses, they think they can lie with no consequences. There's consequences to everything. Your words have power, power of life or power of death. Always speak truth. Matthew 10. Verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. I think God knows who we are. He knows whether we're speaking truth or not. Even the very hairs of our head are numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are more value than many sparrows. You know the little brown spotted birds, the sparrows? They're beautiful. But yet God created me, He's created you. Beautiful. We're a whole lot higher on the food chain than the sparrows, right? We are more value than the sparrows. Therefore, whoever confesses me, it's capital M, that'd be Jesus, because this is in red letters, right? Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. So if you confess Jesus before other people, Jesus will confess you before His Father, right? But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. I don't want to be denied before a Father in heaven. Amen. Some of you all have, you know what it's like to take a stand, to stand up for Jesus, and some warfare comes with that. Yep. In the end, Jesus wins, right? And you win too. May not always be easy, but his burden is light, and His victory is great. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. There will be division. There will be hard times, but yet you win with Jesus. The days that we're in, as I look around and what the future is going to hold, and we don't know, and the political stuff that's going on and the whatevers and the whatevers, and your mind goes, and you know, there's people and groups preparing and doing this and that and the other, and you hear about that stuff and you think about that. And one man gave me some wise counsel. You know, I told him, I can't prepare like I would like to prepare at this time. And he said, all you have to do is obey God. What he shows you to do, do that. He will not, you know, the sparrows get food. They live, they're good, and we're of more value than that. You know, and if you go there looking at what the future could hold, it could be a scary thing, whether you're just getting out of high school, graduating, or you're educating your children and they're getting ready to graduate, or just taking care of them and trying to provide for them, provide shelter. It could be a scary thing, but God takes care of us. And there's one thing my mind can get out there and go weird places, you know, and there's one thing it really brings me back right there in the peace of God, and that's Psalm 91. There was a time in Christ, growing up in Christ, that Psalm 91 was just kind of over my head. I just couldn't get it. But let's read Psalm 91 here today. Let's go there. Remember, Jesus is the peace that passes all understanding, right? Amen. He is that Prince of Peace. He's the truth. He's our protector. He's our refuge. He's our shelter. He's the one that takes care of us. No matter how dark it looks, no matter how bad it looks, no matter how bad the attacks come on you, physically or whatever, hold on to Jesus. Cry out to Jesus. One of the best tools of warfare, of walking the spiritual walk, is worshiping, singing the blood of Jesus. Because when things come on you and your mind, you get fearful or whatever, just start praising Jesus with the blood. Power in the blood. What can wash me free from sin? Nothing but the blood. Because Jesus wins. As we've all probably read the end of the book, right? Yep. Jesus wins. Revelation's the end of the book as we see it. A lot of scary stuff in there. Don't know exactly how it's going to go down, but if you study that, they put a fancy word on that, eschatology. Your mind goes there. You don't know exactly how it's going down, but all you got to do, trust in Jesus, put your faith in Him, obey Him, what He shows you to do, you'll be okay. Psalm 91, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You dwell in that secret place, that prayer closet, communion with God, speaking to Him. He speaks to you, and you can hear His voice in your spirit. You can hear a still small voice in your spirit as the Holy Spirit speaks to you. If you're a born-again believer and the Holy Spirit lives in you, the Comforter has come, the Holy Spirit's inside of you, and God will speak to you. And He can speak to you in an audible voice, and you can hear it with your ears. If you never heard that, ask God for it. He's a good Father. I'm not saying it's going to happen instantly, but ask. There's been times in my life where I've heard the audible voice of God, but I did not know it was Him at the time until later. But it was Him. Verse 2, I say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Boom, you stand on that, you feel confident, you feel good. Times come, you may get a little shaky, but if you go back to here, go back to the Word, go back to the truth, it's right there. In Him I will trust. We've got to put our trust in Him, right? Man will let you down. Sometimes we put our faith and trust in man, and we get to where we expect things, and we put them up a little too high, and we get let down because we expect false expectations out of people. Jesus never lets you down. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the perilous pestilence. From the perilous pestilence. Pestilence, that's disease, right? He'll deliver you from the incurable diseases, the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers. That sounds real manly, doesn't it? He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. He will cover you with his feathers. Remember one time when I was working third shift and I was tired and our family went to the movies and we watched this movie about penguins. And these penguins started off walking. And I'm thinking, I'm going to watch these penguins waddle for 2 hours? I think I probably fell asleep due to my working at night. But these penguins are amazing. And their whole purpose of this trip was to have an egg and protect it and keep it warm and sit on it. And this egg is under their feathers, if there are feathers. You think of feathers, you think of a chicken sitting on eggs. Mama hens are good. They take care of you. Daddies are good. The penguins, mom and dad both share taking care of that egg, keeping it warm, keeping it protected. Protect them from the elements. As children, we don't see everything that's out there. God protects us. Our parents protect us. There's a dove that's built a nest in my dad's gutter eave trough. And these eggs are still there, and Dad don't think these eggs are any good because they've been there too long. But that dove has set on them eggs, Dad seen that dove floating in there in water, sitting on them eggs in that nest. Dad said there was a big hailstorm and the whole eave troughs and everything and was covered in hail. I'm thinking that probably made them eggs too cold, and so that's why them eggs didn't survive. But that dove was still sitting on them eggs. God will protect us under his feathers. There's been visions in here of feathers, of wings, big wingspan of feathers, to where they thought they could, the people that seen it could step out on it and be taken up higher. You know, we've all heard the story about the eagles going high above the storm. Feathers. It's pretty neat, huh? Who would think feathers? But God will protect us under his wings. Let's go to verse 5. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. Not be afraid of the terror. A lot of terror going on in the world right now. With our confidence, trust in God, he'll take care of us. Then check this out in verse 7. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. That don't seem possible, does it? That's like one of them fake hero movies in war, right? All these people being slayed and they don't get touched by a bullet or nothing, you know? Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. See, it's because you have made the Lord your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands... They shall bear you up, lest you dash a foot against the stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me. It's all about the love of the Father to his Son. The love of the Father to us is why he protects us, takes care of us. It's all about love. Therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I shall satisfy him and show him my salvation. What I've seen for me, like where I'm at, I'm living in a subdivision now. Where I'm at in my circumstances right now, that I could be at my house and the whole town could be getting destroyed around me, and I can sit on my front porch and eat supper because God will set a table for us before our enemies, and everything could be going bad around me, but I could sit there in safety and trust in my God that he's taking care of me. That kind of brings me back to reality when God shows me that, because of the peace of making God your refuge, dwelling with him. And it's all about love. And that's one thing I'm trying to learn right now, is love. Because when it's all said and done, and you stand before God, you're going to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant," or you're going to hear, "Depart from me, you sinner, I never knew you." Or, "You accursed, I never knew you." I guess it depends on what translation you read. Or what translations got in that day. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have the translations. God speaks, you'll know it. So when it's all said and done and we're standing before God, I think there's one thing we probably should ask ourselves before we get there. Have I learned to love? Have I learned to love like God loves? He loves us unconditionally. And there's one thing I've learned as growing in Christ and trying to learn the love of God, and I've shared it with my children recently. This is how I'm seeing God. And I've seen this somewhere, read this somewhere. But I tell my children, there's nothing you can do to make me love you more. There's nothing you can do to make me love you less. And as I speak that, I need to walk in that. And that, I think, is part of a journey of learning how to love like God loves. We live in times where people throw the hate word around. You know, don't be a hater. It's like, no, I don't hate you. I give you truth because I love you. We need to give them truth and love, not just smack them with truth, you know. You can hand it to them in love, or you can smack them with love. You're delivering the same thing, but how's your presentation? Which is going to be easier for them to receive? So, Father, I ask you to teach us how to love you more. Teach us how to love others more. And we thank you for your peace that passes all understanding. We thank you for your joy and your strength and your victory. And we thank you, Father, that you've brought us up and you've raised us up in such a time as these so we can worship you and point others to you. And I ask you, Father, to use me, use everyone here to point others to you, Jesus. For no other joy is there than to present Christ to someone and they receive new life. God can use you to bring new life to others. Jesus, I thank you for the baptisms this morning as a symbol of new life. We speak joy and peace and safety upon them. We ask you to teach us and disciple us as we grow in you. We thank you and we praise you, Father, for all things. Father, I do ask that you move. Make yourself known in this Highway 150 corridor. We thank you for the revival you're bringing. It's stirring. It's about to break. Teach us how to love those that we come in contact with daily. We love you, Jesus. Let us be people that not only love you, but love others also. Teach us how to love others, Lord. Teach us how to love ourselves and love others for your glory and your victory. We love you, Jesus. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Mark. He said he has communion here. Love you, brother.
Love you, my friend. Good word. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You can, yeah, it's okay. Well, I guess we can take baptism together, can't we? I just want to say, is there anybody here that doesn't know Jesus? You don't have assurance of salvation? You don't have assurance that his feathers and his wings are over you? God can give you that blessing. Like Glenna here today, your sins are under the blood, and not only that, but old things are passed away, and everything has become new. And it's a process, Glenna. You're becoming new day by day by day. But praise the Lord, if we just follow his instructions, we'll get there. Anybody, raise your hand if you need to recommit yourself to Jesus or come to him for the first time. Just hold your hand up. Praise the Lord. Everybody's good. Everybody's going to hear, "Well done, you good and faithful servant," when they stand before God. I see your hand there, brother. Come on up. Oh, okay. Darn, man. Don't do that to me. Let's come up here and take communion. I said we'd just put the table up, but I'll let Mike, won't you lead us? Is Jenny here? Uh-oh. I was going to have you two hand it out, too. Kind of like as a symbol of his fresh anointing, impartation. I'm so glad y'all came out today. What a nice crew. You too, Elizabeth. Come on, let's form a trioval, like Daytona. We want a D, kind of a D shape. There we go. I'll let her hand out the light one. How's that? Yeah, Jesus. How about Caleb handing out the other one? Here, Caleb, you go that way with it. When he rolled up his sleeves, he ain't just putting on the Ritz. Our God is an awesome God. There is thunder in his footsteps and lightning in his fists. Our God is an awesome God. And the Lord, he wasn't joking when he kicked them out of Eden. It wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood. His return is very soon, and so you better be believing. God is an awesome God. Our God
is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with will. Stone fire and love, our God is.
again. He is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. When the sky was starless in the void of the night, He spoke into the darkness and created the light. Judgment and wrath He poured out on Sodom, and mercy and grace He gave us at the cross. A hope that we have not too quickly forgotten. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Come on, with passion. He is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. And I purposely had Mike and Jenny and Caleb hand out the bread and the juice because I believe in impartation. I believe in impartation from the Holy Spirit. And you know there's a lot. I'm not going to be able to pack up everything and go to Kansas City unless God tells me to. So God lets people bring it to us. So let's, as we take this bread and this juice, let's believe we're getting an impartation. Don't we need a fresh touch from God? Mike?
Thank you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this little piece of bread, this matzo cracker, as a symbol of your body that was broken for us. That your body was pierced for us, that you made a way for us. When we were unworthy, when we were unlovable, you loved us, Jesus. We thank you for the power of your word, the power of your name, the power of healing that comes through taking this bread and this juice, Lord Jesus. We thank you for what you have for us. We know you are a good Father and you have good things for us, better than we can think of ourselves. And we take this little matzo cracker as a symbol of your body that was broken for us, and we do this remembering you. Let me take the bread. What could wash me white as snow? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We have this cup as a symbol of your blood that was shed for us, Jesus. Without the shedding of your blood, there'd be no remission of sins. We ask you, Lord, if there's any unclean thing within our bodies, that you'd make it clean by taking in this little cup as a symbol of your blood. We thank you for life and for victory in you, yes. Jesus. We thank you for power and love and a sound mind upon us, Lord. The power of your name. We take this remembering you. You may take the cup. Bless you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Before y'all get out of here, I hear the word scoliosis. I hear the word curved spine. Does that imply to anybody here? Come on up here. Anybody else? Rachel, does that apply to you? You know what Jesus said in Mark 16? He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel. Those who believe and are baptized will be saved. Those who believe not will be damned. And it don't stop with just being saved. It says, it goes on to say, those who believe will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. It says a lot of other things too, but I don't think we got no demon possessed here right now. So, Jesus, just extend your hands up here. Y'all come up here. If you got clean hands, come up here and put hands on me. Clean hands and a pure heart. If you don't, just forget it. But if you got clean hands, just start praying for these spines to be straightened out and restored in Jesus' name. Restored. Made whole. Come on in here, brother. Come on. We bless you in Jesus' name. We bless you in Jesus' name. Somebody has one of those, it's got to do with indigestion, and I won't say this right, don't laugh, but it's, I think it's hiatal hernia. Does that apply to anyone, even if it's close, does that apply to anyone here? Okay. Go ahead and surround Brenda. No? Somebody, maybe you don't even know what it is, but you're having a problem. It's like, you get this acid. I feel like this acid comes up in your throat. That you?
Yeah, I have a hiatal hernia.
You've got one. Well, you need to hold your hand up. You got one too? Come here and surround these two ladies. And let's get them healed, you know? Let's not stop till they are free of this in Jesus' name. You standing in? Well, you get right in there. She's standing in. That's okay. Praise the Lord. Go after it. Go after it. Make it surrender. Make it bow to the name of Jesus. No more. This far and no more. Yes, Jesus. You've got a right shoulder that pops out a joint every now and then, and you're just going to put up with it. It'll click, and it's like, oh, that's painful. But it's okay. I can live with it. Is that you? Is that anybody?
No, that'd be my employee, Tyler.
That'd be your employee, Tyler?
Employee, yeah.
Come over here and lay.
I'm suffering it.
Come over here and lay hands on Jerry, and we'll believe for his employee, Tyler. He's missed a lot of work because of it. We can stand in for people. Come on over here, a couple of y'all. Let's pray. Come on over here, Angela. Lay hands on him. Come on, we want to see God move. Yes, girls, come on over here. Tyler, pray for Tyler's shoulder.